Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Avivasa 2019 first quarter financial results conference call and webcast.
Hello.
Today's speakers are Mustafa Fırat Kuruca, CEO, Erkan Şahinler, CFO, and Tuğrul Gemici, IR. Dear speakers, the floor is yours.
Hello everyone, this is Fırat Kuruca, CEO of Avivasa. I would like to welcome you for the first earnings call of 2019. Well, all in all, the quarter one of 2019 was a difficult year, but even under such difficult circumstances, we have managed to deliver a strong performance. I would like to give you a summary of this on page number 2 in our presentation. The pensions assets under management ended the quarter at 18 billion TL with a 12% AUM growth versus the same period last year. This is a depressed growth rate in terms of assets under management due to the fact that the mark-to-market losses or the fund returns haven't been stellar given the economic conditions, and there has been an increased level of customer lapses from pensions, but despite that we managed to grow 12%. The protection gross written premium has reached to 177 million TL, which means around 26% year-on-year growth, which is quite a good performance compared to the rest of the market. The resulting technical profit out of those two top line items has grown 24% year-on-year and has reached to 124 million TL at the end of quarter one. And the net profit for the period in terms of IFRS basis has increased by 41% year-on-year and have reached 51 million TL. The local GAAP profitability again has reached 51 million TL with a 56% growth year-on-year. So the bottom line growth has been very strong in Q1. While both IFRS and local GAAP profitability have converged to the same level of 51 million TL. These bottom lines indicate around 33% return on equity, and the dividend has been declared as 100 million TL for this year, which is around 107% above the previous year's dividend, and the first installment of this 100 million TL has been already paid in Q1, at the end of Q1, at 60 million TL, and 40 million TL is due to be paid towards the end of the year in November. So all in all, I should say it was a good performance under difficult market and economic conditions. When we move on to the next page, page 3, we see the performance by the three segments, product segments that we have. In terms of pension, the pension profit contribution have increased by 17 million as opposed to 12% assets under management growth. So 17% is relatively better than our top line growth. Life protection, this bit of our business was mainly fueled by non-credit linked products that we have been actively selling, and the profitability generated, profit generated from life protection has improved by 36% year on year. And the personal accident product line technical profit has improved by 62% year on year. So pretty good performance on protection side of our business, and the pension performance was depressed due to economic conditions. But if we move on to page 4, quarter 1 of 2019 was the end, the last of the auto-enrollment rounds. You know, auto-enrollment, when it was launched in the beginning of 2017, was split into six segments, six, let's say, rounds. And the sixth round was for companies, employers between 5 to 10 employees. And this round was almost about to be completed as of today. And we have ended the whole enrollment process as regards auto enrollment. The result of this process, after 2 years, we look at a market which has reached around 5.3 million participants in auto enrollment, and we are a number two in terms of number of players. We have surpassed 600,000 customers, new customers, on top of 800,000 we already had. So we are a strong number two in auto enrollment. This is in the whole employment market, but we are more focused on private market, private sector, and there we are a significant number one leader in terms of auto enrollment participants. We will see in the future this auto enrollment base turn into a strong value proposition for Avivasa, but as yet, as of today, the contribution coming from auto enrollment is rather minimal because we are at the early stages of asset accumulation. And I would like to also note a market dynamic, actually Avivasa dynamic, that separates us from the rest of the market. As in page 5, we see the split of our protection business into three distinct business lines. One is credit-linked business. This credit-linked business is the traditional protection, life protection business, that's really dominating the marketplace with almost 60% or 70% dependence on credit-linked business, whereas for us this is less than 30%, and we have been diversifying our protection portfolio into non-bank channels as well as non-credit-linked products, and we have seen the benefit of this in Q1, where credit-linked business shrank by 7%, whereas both non-bank insurance and non-credit-linked businesses have grown in excess of 45%. So this is what's underlying in our outperformance in terms of protection premiums. So 26% overall growth in total protection as opposed to single-digit growth in the marketplace. So thereby, I would like to pass the word to my CFO, to our CFO, Erkan, to give you a bit more detailed information on our financials and figures.
Hello, everyone. Again, welcome to our 2019 first quarter earnings call. I would like to start to discuss about the profitability and the profitability metrics of the company on page number 6. We have been able to grow the bottom line profits by more than 40% in the first quarter of 2019 by exceeding 50 million. And this was much stronger than the last 5 years' annual growth rates in the profits. You would remember that during 2017 and 18, we had a similar performance of growing the bottom line at around 40% rate. So despite the difficult conditions in the first quarter of the year, we have been able to repeat the same performance of last 2 years in the bottom line. That bottom line performance has been mainly supported by the growth at the technical profit after G&A expenses, which was 20% for the year, for the quarters, and similar to the prior year's growth rates in the technical profit after G&A. On the shareholder equity side, we have been able to continue to grow the equity in spite of a 60 million dividend payment in cash within the quarter. In spite of this cash outflow, we have been able to continue the growth of the shareholders' equity. That gave us a solvency ratio of 154% by the end of first quarter of the year, and almost a 33% of ROE for the same period. Please note that this return on equity improvement continues year by year, and we have surpassed the prior year's ROE level by, again, 3 percentage point, or in other words, almost 10% from the last year's ROE. I would like to continue with some more detail with regards to the net technical profit dynamics. You would recall, I guess, that in our earlier calls, we always mentioned about the quality of the earnings, and we measure this quality of the earnings with the gap between the growth in technical profit and growth in the general expenses. And over the last couple of years, we have been able to achieve a significant margin between the two growth rates. When you will look at our financials, you would see that in the first quarter of 2019, our G&A expense growth has slightly been above the growth in the technical profit. But I would like to draw your attention that this is because of a couple of one-off expenses which occurred in the first quarter of the year. And once those one-off expenses have been eliminated from the expense base, the expense growth, the normalized expense growth, should be read as 17%, as you might see on the footnotes to this chart. And this supports our focus on controlling the expenses and keeping the growth rate of the expenses below the growth in the technical profit. And by using this expense ratio perspective, expense perspective, I would also like to note that that there is a improvement in our expense ratio in spite of the one-off expenses that I mentioned earlier. We have been able to achieve a 3.5 percentage point improvement in our expense ratio. And once we eliminate those one-off expenses, that improvement becomes much larger and the expense ratio, normalized expense ratio for the quarter, reduces to 43.5%. On the next slide, on page number 8, you would see the details of our IFRS income statement. As Fırat Bey has mentioned in his beginning, in his introduction, we have achieved a 24% growth in the technical profit, and almost 50% of this technical profit generation comes from pension. In spite, this business has been depressed throughout the quarters. On the other hand, we have been able to achieve some significant growth in our life protection business by a 36% of growth, in spite of a shrinkage in the credit link business, thanks to our portfolio dynamics and our continuously growing standalone portfolio, which delivers this profit growth to be continuous in our financials. On the expense front, I explained that although there is a 26% growth which is observed in our first quarter financials, those 88 million of expenses include some 8.5 million of one-off nature expenses, and the normalized growth of our expenses can be read as 17%, being less than the inflation rate and in line with our focus to control the expenses. The high interest rates throughout the first quarter of the year as compared to the last year's same period enabled us to increase our financial income by 76% and supporting the 41% growth in the bottom line. The similar dynamic is valid in our local GAAP accounting or local GAAP results. In our SFRS P&L, you also see a bottom line profit of 51 million TL, and this equates to a 56% of growth as compared to the last year. As time passes and the pension portfolio is being under stress, the major difference between the two sets of accounts, which is the deferral of the acquisition costs, the impact of this accounting becomes very immaterial, so that the both sets of accounts deliver some similar profits at the bottom line. Maybe at this stage I can jump into the market consistent embedded value results of the company on page 12. You would see our year-end results which are audited as of today and disclosed in our website. The MCV value of the company has reached to 1.9 billion and showing a growth of 13% over last year. And if you would like to go into the details of this growth on slide number 13, you would see that the contribution from our life portfolio is growing much higher than the contribution from the pension portfolio. The contribution of the life portfolio to the MCV was about 20% of the total in last year, whereas it became 27% by the end of the year 2018. And this supports our continuing focus to improve our life portfolio and to improve our life market shares as we became number 5 by the end of 2018 in this category. When it comes to the detailed metrics for our new business portfolio, I would like to start with the value of new business, which grew by 40% as compared to the prior year, in spite of a deterioration in our pension portfolio, which was about 12%, again compared to the previous year. But the 59, almost 60% growth of in growth of life portfolio in terms of VNB supports the majority of the growth in our total business. In terms of the MCV margins, we see some healthy development as compared to the previous years. We have been able to maintain the margins in the pension business in spite of much higher growing auto-enrollment business within the total and lower margins of this auto-enrollment business didn't affect yet the total profitability of the pension business, whereas we are able to maintain the margins in life business above 16% in year 2019 as well, while improving the personal accident business's margin to almost 12%, which is almost double of the previous year, which in combined improves our total margin from 3.8% to 5.3% as compared to the previous year. That's pretty much concludes our discussion regarding the first quarter results. But in the meantime, I would like to re-emphasize our top business priorities in order to give you some guidance in terms of the agenda of the rest of the year. We will continue to become one of the leading players in the market in life business, and we will try to maintain our leadership position in the pension business. This is in terms of our focus for leadership. In the meantime, we believe that those leadership positions would be dependent on how much we will be able to serve to our customers and how much we will be able to retain our existing customer portfolio. So the customer retention will be another focus for the year 2019's difficult conditions. In order to serve better to our customers, we have established a captive agency in order to provide them the other types of insurance products, the non-life insurance products, through an agency establishment. So this has already started. We are already in initial steps of this formation, but we believe that it will contribute a lot of value to our company in the upcoming futures. We continue to invest to develop our IT infrastructure, and also we continue to invest in the digital solutions. We continue to upgrade the functionalities in our mobile application. So those will be the main agenda items for Avivasa throughout the rest of 2019. That concludes our discussion regarding the first quarter of 2019, and we will be looking for your questions regarding those explanations. Thank you all.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad, or please type your question into the Ask a Question text area, then click the Submit button. Thank you for holding. We have a question from Karim Savabini from Mood Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations on the results, especially considering the challenging conditions right now. My question is more about the upcoming change in potential regulation regarding the pension system. You can talk a little bit about that and how you can prepare for that and what your latest thoughts are. Thank you.
Okay. I presume it's after the press conference of your economic reforms announcement by our Minister of Finance and Treasury. This was being discussed in the sector and with the regulator for quite some time now. As we know, auto enrollment has started at the beginning of 2017, but although it was a start, it wasn't a perfect one. Therefore, we were expecting some revisions to it, so that it goes on to become a major, let's say, savings instrument for the whole population. Now, with the new, intention, the regulator will probably try to revise the severance pay law and combine it with the pensions or with auto enrollment. To be honest, it is at the idea stage, although it has been announced. There will be a lot of work to be conducted and to iron out details of it. It will take a couple of months, if not a couple of quarters, at the end of which probably there will be a political decision to go ahead with it or not, because we know it's going to require consensus from both employers and employees to have a smooth transition to the new idea. So which parts will shape in what way, unfortunately, we cannot say. The intention is to make auto enrollment grow much faster. Somehow a middle ground solution will be achieved, our hope. Unfortunately, other than that, we can't give any more clarity. We are in touch with the regulator as to what will be the best way forward. And we will, of course, continue to inform you if there is any concrete development that are publicly shareable. Okay. I hope that satisfies at least part of the question.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, there's a question on the web stating that, you know, pension assets under management growth continues to decline. Growth rate continues to decline, as a matter of fact. When would you expect this trend to reverse? Now, as I tried to explain during my presentation, the decline in pension AUM growth has been due to the mark-to-market losses both in fixed income and equity markets, plus some customers leaving the system because of economic hardships. In such conditions, still a double-digit growth is welcome. As an industry, we should weather the storm. The economic volatility will eventually subside, and we will start seeing some bullish growth. But I don't have a crystal ball, unfortunately, that I can tell you what's the exact time. You know, economic and political situations in our country are not ideal at the moment, so probably we will have to wait the dust to settle, the political and economic dust, and to see some more credible economic policy on the part of our regulator before we have a significant trend change. Okay. Okay. There is also a similar question on the pensions, but in terms of number of participants rather than assets under management. Well, as you know, a robust pension structure requires first, second, and third pillars, as in more developed markets. First pillar is, you know, social security. It has been there. Third pillar is voluntary pensions that we had for almost more than 15 years. And the second pillar is occupational pensions or auto-enrollment, as we have launched it 2 years ago. Now, it's only natural that the launch of a second pillar will somehow hamper the growth of third pillar, and this is what we are seeing. But we believe in the system of auto-enrollment as well as voluntary pensions living together, existing together, and there will be a balance established between the second and third pillar. This may take a couple of more years, given the fact that auto-enrollment is going to change significantly. So that we are looking into one or two more, let's say, uncertain years, but what I can tell you is the changes are done for the better. So in medium to long term, we are expecting significant growth and significant assets under management and significant growth in the participants, number of participants. That is the intention of all the regulatory changes. In the meantime, we will have to play defense and try to improve our communication with the existing customer base, so they continue to have trust in the system, which is critical. And as time goes by, we will realize that, you know, auto-enrollment will improve as well. All in all, I will say that, you know, the auto-enrollment market has reached to around 5.3 million new participants, taking the total pension market to almost 12 million, slightly more than 12 million total number of participants. And with the auto-enrollment, let's say, idea that is on the table at the moment, we are looking at an additional 15 million or so in one go. But, you know, whether this will happen this year or to what extent it will happen, we will have to see. In the meantime, we are investing on a more diversified portfolio. We are not a pure pension company. Therefore, if you look at our P&Ls, in our P&L, you see a balanced picture between pensions and non-pensions, and a significant growth is being driven, that is bottom line and top line growth is being driven by non-pension business. So it's sort of our, let's say, resilient business model that took us to that point of delivering almost 40% bottom line growth, despite the depressed pensions.
We have a question from Sahil Kumar from Moody's Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Sahil from Moody's. I have just one question regarding your operating expenses. So you have some one-off expenses in first quarter. So how should you think about for the rest of the quarters? Is there more one-off expected in the second quarter or maybe in the second half? Or this is something is going to be normalized for the rest of the year?
Yes, thanks for the question. Yes, our expectation is to have a normalized expense growth on a full year basis. This is sort of a calendarization issue. Some expenses that have last year happened in second quarter have moved into quarter one this year. It's like sales conference type of expenses. And there were some other personnel related expenses shifted to Q1, and there's some accounting change. All in all, our expectation for the full year is to end up with an expense growth less than inflation. Inflation being somewhere between 15% to 20%, we want to be at either lower end of the spectrum or even lower than that. We are planning along those lines. Okay, I hope this answers.
Yeah, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad, or please type your question into the Ask a Question text area and click the Submit button. Thank you for holding. We have no further questions at the moment. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion.
All right. I would like to thank you for joining and listening to our earnings call. We will make the record of this call available in our investor relations site as well. Or if you have any further questions, you can drop us, our investor relations department, any mail or contact them. So looking forward to seeing you in the next quarter's earnings release. And we are confident that even under difficult conditions, our resilient business model will continue to perform strongly. Thanks again for joining.
Thank you for joining.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call and a webcast. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.